Given that this is the first Sunday of Lent, and given the fact that today's gospel is about our Lord's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, I thought I should do a little research about fasting. The English word for fasting comes from the German word Fest, which means to be steadfast, staunch, unwavering, unfailing, faithful, or constant. I also did a bit of research about the human experience of fasting. I even investigated something of the physiology of fasting. And I found out that our human bodies actually have an innate ability to be steadfast when fasting. Our bodies are biologically given with the physical ability to do without food, either because we are intentionally steadfast in our desire to fast, or simply because there is no food available for us and we have no other choice except unwavering in our fasting until we can then successfully hunt for more food. In fact, there is a complex biological mechanism that actually makes a body deprived of food more alert, in need of less sleep, and with a mind much more energetic than usual. This is no doubt nature's way of helping hungry human beings to eventually find the food they occasionally lack. Ketones, as well as other metabolic alterations in the body of someone who is fasting, recapture essential amino acids and reduce all bodily excretions. Someone who is fasting very often loses all sexual desire as the body tries to marshal its powers simply for the essential task of survival. Now, a fasting body also throws off any previously accumulated toxins, but in doing so, the faster also begins to stink. There is usually bad breath and fetid sweat. So, although religious fasters often deliberately retire from ordinary human contact, their physical state may actually reinforce their isolation and their desire to keep other folks at a distance. The really difficult part of a fast is in the first 3 or 4 days. During that stage, the body has to adjust to a foodless state. After that, hunger usually stops and doesn't return for between 3 to 6 weeks. Now, please understand, this is fasting, not dieting. Fasting means eating nothing, while dieting means merely cutting down or reducing our consumption. When we diet, as some of us know well, far from discouraging hunger, our experience of on-again, off-again eating only reawakens our desire for food. On the other hand, when someone fasts, if they are an experienced and practiced faster, it usually isn't until about 40 days that real hunger returns. After those 40 days, however, all the bodily systems really begin to suffer. A person is famished. They're truly starving. Notice in today's gospel, the scriptures say Jesus had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, and afterwards he was very hungry. He was all alone in the vastness of a wilderness at the very end of a long religious fast, and he was at that very point in his fast when terrible hunger returns. It was then, in that weakened and most vulnerable condition, when Satan began to tempt him. By the way, this is not merely a symbolic gesture. Remember, Jesus was like us in all things but sin. So, Jesus was truly tempted to betray his mission, to abandon his task, and to actually disobey the will of God his Father. Just like you and me, just like all men and women, our Lord Jesus Christ experienced that gnawing and seductive invitation to sin. Sin meaning to see the good, but to choose the wicked. Now we know both from the authority of the Scriptures as well as from our own personal experience that the devil is always a liar. He is the father of lies. Recall that in today's first reading from the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve existed in a paradise created for them by a loving God. They lived in harmony with nature and with each other. They were also on intimate terms with God, their Creator. But Satan was a formidable opponent who hated God and envied humanity's beatitude. The devil is smooth-talking and a highly skilled seducer. What he always offers is falsehood, misguided desire, and misdirected need. The story of our first parents' fall establishes that tragic pattern of all our subsequent human history. Adam and Eve, just like you and me, their children, disbelieved in the Word of God, but believed in the lies of their enemy, the devil. Because of this misguided human choice, sin and death entered into our world. Humanity was expelled from paradise into the harshness of a wilderness. As St. Paul teaches us in today's second reading, because of disobedience, the terrible consequences of human trespass are sin and death and condemnation. But thanks be to God, the obedience of Jesus Christ is much more powerful than the dominion of either sin or death. Unlike the first Adam, who in paradise succumbed to the offer of forbidden food, the second Adam, in a wilderness, chose to obey the commandments of God. We can see how all of this happened in the fascinating verbal exchanges between Jesus and the tempter in today's gospel according to Matthew. Notice that this incident took place just after the Lord's baptism in the River Jordan, when the voice of God the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus is then led by the Spirit into the wilderness, freely accepting the fallen condition of Adam and Eve in all its weakness. Notice as well that the devil begins the debate on the low ground of the desert by questioning God's declaration at the River Jordan. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Then taking Jesus up higher to the parapet of the temple, he says, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And finally, manifesting all of his hatred for God and sheer malice against the human race, Satan takes Jesus up even higher to a mountaintop, and the evil one actually dares to ask Jesus to worship him, to give to the devil the homage and obedience that belongs to God alone. Since all of us are tempted, we should pay very close attention to how Jesus responds to these temptations. Jesus refuses to rely on anything but God. Jesus does not try to manipulate God. Jesus does not claim any special privilege as God's only begotten Son. Instead, Jesus lives by faith and answers only with the words of faith. Jesus teaches us by example how to believe and obey God by rejecting those lies that lead to death and alienation, and by believing in those truths that lead to life and union with God. It is certainly no accident that the Church presents us with these readings on this first Sunday of Lent. This is the season when catechumens throughout the whole world are officially called to the waters of baptism and to a more intense identification with Christ. This is the season when Christians who have lived outside our community now petition for full communion with the Catholic Church. Twice this very afternoon, our great cathedral will be packed to the rafters with those coming for the rites of election. This is also that season of the year when the whole Christian world tries to renew our own baptismal promises. This is a season in time to more strenuously resist temptation, to die to sin, to be born again into eternity. So Lent is a moment of grace and mercy, when all that is broken and malignant in our sinful humanity can be healed. Through prayer and fasting, through the sacrament of reconciliation, through almsgiving and greater service to our neighbor, we too can freely choose obedience to God and accept the great gift of His grace. We who are born in sin and condemned to death can know divine justification and the sure promise of a new and eternal Eden. Remember, at the end of that terrible time of testing, when the evil spirit left Jesus, angelic spirits came and they ministered to Him. In the same way, at this very Mass, in the Eucharist, we too can experience the ministry of angels, because we too can be nourished by the bread of angels. For all eternity, 10,000 upon 10,000, myriads of angel hosts feast their eyes on the very face of God. But the Lord, whom they ceaselessly praise, the living God, before whom they tremble and adore, even now, even here on earth, becomes our food and drink, our Passover, our Paschal banquet, our Holy Communion. One taste of this food should set our hearts on fire with intense longing to live forever with God. So today, if we are hungry, if we are famished, if we are tempted and tired of being afraid, if we are intimidated by the lies of Satan and the apparent power of sin and death, then Christians, in the spirit of our fasting, may we all become more steadfast and staunch, more unfailing and unwavering in our Lenten observance. Believers, come to the table. Taste and see the great goodness of the Lord. Disciples, eat and drink and be satisfied. Beloved of God, children of God, an everlasting Easter, an eternal eighth day is being prepared for us. The gift of God's grace is abundantly offered. The Lord's life, death, and resurrection can become our life, our death, our resurrection. So, Catholic believers, be filled with faith, hope, and love. Jesus, our High Priest, our most holy Redeemer, our Lord and our God, our glorious Savior, is truly present in the great sacrament of the altar.